All right. Hope you all had a good 4th of July. Did you do anything special?
No, not really. Just took some time and relaxed.
Good, good. I'm at my lake home, and we've got a boat, and I've got four grandchildren here. And day before yesterday, the engine quit, so we had to be towed in. And then 2 nights ago, we had tornado warnings and lost the top of a tree. So it's been eventful. And then, to top it off, one of Anna's my wife's cousins live close to here, and he came over and caught a bunch of catfish and then dressed them right in front of my kids. That was an experience for them. It's not for the faint of heart, at least I don't think it is. On Friday, I sent you my thoughts on the practice overview. Did you all get that in front of you?
Yeah, I did, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do so. It looks great. I like how you cleaned it up a little.
Well, as I said in my email, I'm just showing you that you can make with the font and in the layout, you can just make it. You can make it prettier. I thought this I forget which font I used, but I just thought it looked really clean. And I just changed up a little bit of the verbiage. So the issue here, not the issue, but the next thing, Abraham is get into the final version. If this is what you want to use, terrific. I didn't. I gave it a cursory glance for spelling and punctuation. You might want to do that, and then you got to get it approved by compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're ready to go with it. But I think it looks good. Put it on as I told you before. Put it on high quality paper,
mm-hmm.
and you're good to go. Bye.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the enthusiastically endorsed conversation. I know we've had some time off, but did you have an opportunity to ask that question?
You know, I haven't really. What I've been doing is as I walk them through the folder, I do refer to it. I tell them that we want to know if they can enthusiastically endorse their CPA or their attorney. So yeah, I guess I have, and I've gotten some responses from it.
When you say you've gotten some responses, people have said yes. I mean, you've gotten a yes or a no from these people.
I haven't really gotten any no's yet, but I have gotten some yeses, and in some cases, there were instances where I already knew their professional, but In one or two other cases, there were times when I didn't know that person. Unfortunately, some of them are far out of town or something like that. But otherwise, yeah, I have done that.
Right.
I mean, it has not yet led to a name that I did not already know.
Okay. Remember, when you say they're out of town, we'd always rather have those things closer to us. But remember, you're doing this for a couple of reasons. The main reason is to make sure that your clients have really good professional help away from the things that you do for them. It's part of your brand.
Right.
So if they're out of town, that's fine. If they like them, again, you're strengthening your brand. The other reason, two other reasons. One, if they are good, you want to know them. So have you, when people said they can enthusiastically endorse their CPA, did you have an opportunity to follow up and get the client's permission to call and introduce yourself to that CPA?
No, not as of yet.
Okay, now I understand some of them are out of town, but did you get any that are in your market? Did you have that? Did anybody say yes? I can enthusiastically endorse my CPA, and they are in your market?
Nobody that CPAs. I already knew the CPA in that case, so kind of.
Okay. Well, now, when you say you knew them, did you know them or did you know of them?
No, I know them personally. Like, the dude's in Rotary as well. He's a CPA in Rotary that I've reached out to on various occasions, and never really gotten too far with.
Okay. Now, let's just think here a second. You've got a client. You know the CPA. The client can enthusiastically endorse the CPA. You know him from Rotary. How would you follow up with that? Here's in the interest of time. You know the guy in Rotary really well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Would it make sense to say to the client, and I'm asking you, I know him. I don't know his practice well. Would you mind if I called him and used your name and just got to know him a little bit better?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't even need to get that permission because we've all had spoken on several occasions already about the client all three of us are in Rotary, so yeah. I could certainly reach out to the CPA. I mean, I have reached out to the CPA a couple of years ago, but I could do so again. At the time, he was pretty well in with Merrill Lynch. He kind of felt like it didn't really make sense to meet. But I could certainly approach the CPA again.
Okay. Well, you know that better than I. But if your relationships change, if he was locked into Merrill Lynch, he might not be locked into Merrill Lynch today. He might not be getting good service. Would it make sense? And again, Abraham, this is a question, not trying to manipulate you. Would it make sense to get in front of him again? Tell him that you have, since you all last spoke in depth about his practice, you've made some refinements to your practice, and here it is. It's your practice overview. It also might be an opportunity for you to have. Do you know what his ideal client looks like?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, well. You know, you've developed your ideal client. Your ideal client is your minimum plus those soft issues you like in your best clients. So would it make sense? I skipped a step. Is this somebody that you could refer to? I mean, you know he does good work.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it would make sense to meet with him. Tell him about the refinements you've made to your practice. You put it on one piece of paper. Here it is. You always want to have people that you can, you get to work with CPAs around the area. You just like to know a little bit more about his practice. So if the opportunity came up, you would be able to, refer to him. I mean, you put it a little more smoothly than that. But you see, you're not promising anything. I get to work with CPAs around the Coral Gables area. I like to think I know the good ones. Our common client says great things about you. I'd love to know more about your practice and what your ideal client looks like. He may specialize in businesses. He may specialize in medical practices. He may specialize in corporate executives. I don't know. But many times those folks have a specialty, have a niche, just like you have a niche. Again, you know the dynamics here because you know this guy. I just want you to be. I keep going back to what you told me in week one. I want to have a practice I can be proud of. Mm-hmm. I think if you don't feel it's fully developed, I think you're getting there. This guy knows you, doesn't know your new practice, probably didn't know your old practice as well as you'd like for him to. Here is an opportunity to widen your footprint in your market.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, I do. I completely agree. I think it would be appropriate and would make sense to reach out to him because now I think that I actually have something, you know, really to offer him and to talk to him about. Whereas
you,
in the past,
you have something different. You're treating. Exactly. I mean, if he's referring people to Merrill Lynch, then his clients are getting whatever that FA's service model at Merrill Lynch is, if he has one.
Right.
If he refers to you, he's getting 12-4-2. He's getting his client's getting rapid response. His client is getting multi-generational and fully implemented planning. So, you've got something that is probably different than what he's referring into, if he's still referring into Merrill Lynch. And begin and remember, we talked before, he's in the same business you're in. He can't make any money off of small relationships.
Right.
He can't add any value. He can't add any margin. He would like to have more clients like you have. So if that opportunity for him to get referrals from you might make him more open to your practice.
You know, Rob, I forgot to mention, but I am taking my biggest client's CPA to lunch on the 14th of this month. So I kind of forgot to mention that, but I had already known him. I've met him several times at my client's office. So it didn't exactly come about as a result of asking about the enthusiastically endorsed, but it is happening.
Well, when you meet with that, did you set up this lunch or did the CPA set up the lunch?
No, I did. I did.
What was your rationale for setting up that lunch? What did you say to the CPA was your reason for taking him to lunch?
Well, what I said was I'd like to learn more about his practice, and I forget exactly how I phrased it, but it was definitely that I'd like to learn more about his practice and share with him about mine and perhaps develop further develop the relationship, something along those lines.
Okay. Perfect. He's meeting with you. He must like you because he knows you, and he wouldn't meet with you if he'd find an excuse if he didn't want to. You're trying to find out what his ideal client looks like.
Right.
I work with CPAs around the area. I like to know the good ones. I know you. I would like to know more about your practice. I know that our common client really loves what you do. Could you tell me what that looks like? What is it that you do that makes our common client, you're using the client's name obviously, that makes old Bill so excited about what you do? And he'll tell you. And then you have the opportunity to say, well, I've made some refinements to my practice also. I've established a minimum for new business. I've significantly reduced the number of people in my practice, so that I can give a premium level of service. I can't give the type of service that I want my clients to have if I have too many clients. I've reduced the size. I'm giving you things to say. Besides, the reason I've reduced the size of my practice, number one, I can never let the growth of my practice interfere, compromise the service I'm giving to existing clients. I reduce the number of clients, so I always have room for people who fit my ideal client model. All that stuff will make sense to the CPA. Mm-hmm. And then you say, I have put an overview of my practice on one sheet of paper. Here it is. I'd love for you to have it. Would really like working for, I'm just saying you've got something to talk about. We've talked about some verbiage that you can use. I think you got a great story to tell, and the practice overview allows him to take that home with him and have it, so he can really know your practice well. Got it?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, now, even if you know somebody who knows somebody's CPA is, you still ask the question. Can you enthusiastically, I know you've been doing business with Jim Smith for a long time. Is he someone you can enthusiastically endorse? Well, what do you mean, Abraham? Well, an enthusiastically endorsed CPA, let me tell you what that might look like. Returns your calls, is aggressive within the law, returns emails, gets the work done on time. isn't the cheapest guy in town, but his price it represents value. All of those things. You got to give the client something to, so they know what you're talking about. Now you've explained what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. Now the client can answer the question. Well, yeah, no, I'm not getting those things, Abraham. Well, I work with some really good CPAs around the area. I would be tickled to introduce you to one or two on a non-obligatory basis. So you see how all this comes together.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You have to, even if you got the client's CPA, you still ask the question, and then you put that down. So, and you ask that question on a yearly basis. You don't ask it every time you meet with a client. If they don't like their CPA, it's obvious what you can do. Yeah, I really love my CPA. I get all those things, Abraham, plus everything else. Well, terrific. One of the things I make sure I do in my practice is to make sure my clients have the very best professional help away from the things I do for them. Mm-hmm. I work with CPAs in the Coral Gables area. I think I know the good ones. May I call your CPA, use your name, and introduce myself? Sure. And now you know what to, now you know what to do. All right?
Yep.
Okay. Let's spend some time with another, we've got over that. So you're comfortable with that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. When value is given and recognized, you know what to say. We've talked about enthusiastically endorsed. Now let's talk about, spend the rest of the time around niche expansion. Very simple strategy. You told me that when we first talked, your niches, you said doctors, lawyers, and retirees. Would you add anybody to that list? Any niche to that list?
I guess business owners.
All right. What's your favorite niche? If you had to have a whole practice of just one of these niches, what would it be?
Business owners.
Okay. Tell me why. Give me three reasons you like working with business owners.
I like working with the business owners because they are able to make a decision. They understand and value the value of professional advice. And they tend to have a lot of investable assets.
All right. I'm making those.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What was that last? They have.
Well, the successful ones tend to have a lot of investable assets.
Yeah. Well, could you use the word complex situations rather than have a lot of money? Because that sounds a little mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that we're looking for clients that have money, but the reason we have money is because they usually have complex financial situations and need our help. Does that make sense?
Sure.
All right. So the way you expand a niche is beyond simple. Give me the first name of one of your business owners.
Let's say Felix.
Felix, do you have a minute to give me some advice?
Sure.
When you ask for advice, that's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
When Supernova is over, Abraham, if I would call you and say, Abraham, is there a time you could give me 15 minutes? I need some advice. I think you'd say yes. You would take that as a compliment. So, Felix, do you have a minute to give me some advice? Abraham, I'd love to. What kind of advice do you need? Felix, I would like to add more business owners to my practice. I really enjoy dealing with business owners. You all can make decisions. You understand and appreciate advice. And you have complex financial situations where I can really be of service. Here's the advice part. if you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more business owners?
Mm-hmm.
Does that, that simple, and for me, flows very well. And let's say Felix, you know, we're doing this, you know, this, you're going to say this is part of VIPSA, and my response will be, yep, you caught me. When he says, well, gosh, I know what you're asking me, Abraham, but nothing's coming to mind right now. Your response is, well, thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you.
Right.
So you get into that, you ask for their advice, you always got to have three reasons why you want to expand that niche. You ask for the advice, if they say no, not no, but I can't think of anything right now, well, Felix, thanks for thinking about it. I know you know that I'm never too busy to help people like you. Now, if what could Felix say? Well, it's now that you mentioned that, I'm glad you mentioned that. I play golf with a couple of buddies of mine every Wednesday. They're business owners. Or we have I'm part of the National Association of Small Businesses. We meet every other month. We're always looking for speakers. Why don't you come and talk to the group? But you don't know what that answer is going to be. But what I do know intuitively is Felix can get you in front of more business owners than you can get yourself in the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the niche. You come up with three reasons that you want to expand that niche, or why you like working with that niche, and then you go into the conversation. So let's do it one more time. Felix, do you have a minute to give me some advice? That's the key phrase. Asking for advice is one of the best ways to influence people. Again, not manipulate them, but influence people. Do you have a minute to give me some advice? Sure, Abraham, I'd love to give you advice. What do you need? Well, I love working with business owners. I would like to have more business owners in my practice. You all understand risk. The business owners I deal with appreciate and understand the value of professional advice. And normally business owners have complex situations where I can be of assistance. Here's the advice part. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more business owners? And then you shut up.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he comes up with ideas. Terrific. He says, well, you know, my best friend is a business owner. And you really, he hates working with Merrill Lynch, whatever. You really need to talk to him. Now this will sound familiar too. Your response is, I would love to do that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he says, well, I can't come up with anybody. I can't think of anything right now. You say, I appreciate you thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got to write that conversation. You've got to write that conversation down. You got to make sure that you don't go through that same conversation again. And it's as simple as writing EE, July 5th, 2016. And then when you're reviewing before your next meeting with him, you see, well, I had that conversation 3 months ago. He didn't come up with anything. It might be time to say something along the lines, Felix, back in July, we talked about me wanting to add more business owners to my practice. Has anything come to mind since we talked last July? And again, you know, maybe that's too soon, but you can't ask the same thing the same way every time, or
sure,
it comes across as insincere.
Sure.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If ever you think you've given me four niches, doctors, lawyers, retirees, and business owners, if out of each of those groups, when you get in front of a qualified prospect, Abraham, what do you think your close rate is?
If they have some urgency, meaning that they took the meeting because, like, there's some reason why they want to meet, not just, like, because I called them, as a warm referral, I think it's exceptionally high. Yeah, 90%.
Well, okay. Let's say that each one of these niches, you get 3 referrals.
Mm-hmm.
3 times 4 is 12. 90% of 12, I can't do that in my head. That's probably 8 or 9, that could be 8 or 9 new relationships just because you asked that question.
Right.
9 new relationships that fit your minimum would be a big boost to your practice. Agreed?
Sure.
Okay. So, you think you're looking for value, to use the VIPSA conversation. You're asking the enthusiastically endorsed conversation. And now you're using the niche expansion conversation. You've got a lot going. You're going to get some referrals, and you're going to close, 90% of them, say 70, whatever. You're going to get lots of opportunities. Now, you said something a second ago. I said, what's your close rate? And you said, well, it depends. Basically, I'll make up from what you said is if there's some urgency and they're not happy, it's very high.
Right.
There are people out there who are happy because they don't know anything else. They've always gotten lousy service. They've not always gotten their phone calls returned. Nobody's done planning with him, but I guess that's just what I get when I deal with so-and-so. And I may have said this to you before, you've heard this, well, I'm happy where I am right now. You've heard that.
Yeah.
Your response is, well, I'm glad you're happy, but I have to tell you, and I hope this doesn't sound arrogant, I have a lot of people in my practice who were happy where they were before they saw what I offered.
Mm-hmm.
That old thing, happy where I am now, just isn't a push off anymore. It's an opportunity to say what I do is different. All right?
That's good, because in the past I've always just kind of left it at that when someone says they're happy with their guy.
Yeah, and your response is, I'm glad you're happy. Just like when somebody says, I've already done planning, you say, well, I'm glad you've done that. But let me ask you 2 questions. How often is it reviewed, and has it been fully implemented? When somebody says they're happy, I'm glad you're happy. But it's important that you know that I have people in my practice who are happy where they were before they saw what my practice looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
I do.
Okay. Let's spend a little time. I sent you another attachment. It says game board. Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay. A game board is something simple to help a team make sure that they're accomplishing the things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
A game board is quite has to be on a game board. Something has to be doable, and it has to be quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't where you say I want to grow my business by 50% this year. These are tasks that are important to do in order that you can grow your business. Again, they have to be doable, and they have to be quantifiable. And I've given you an example here. For example, and we'll talk next week about centers of influence, but training a center of influence is making sure that a center of influence fully understands your practice so they can be an advocate for you. So in this example, the FA says, and one other thing about the game board, you can have it max 2 things on the game board, because if you put up more than 2, it becomes a laundry list, and it's easy to hide from a laundry list. It's not easy to hide from one or two things. So this is a team I've made up, a 2 FAs and a and a client associate, the first FA's task for the next 5 business days is to train 2 centers of influence. Also, he's got a goal of having 3 niche expansion conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So the CSA goal was to complete 8 folders and to schedule 5 clients. I know this isn't all in the same time frame. I'm just trying to make an example. So here's the thought. How often do you have team meetings?
How often do we have team meetings? Once a week.
When do you have them?
We have been doing Monday at 11.
Okay. And who is that?
The 3 of us, myself, Peter, and Anthony.
Okay. All right. So here's when you have your team meeting, a lot of times team meetings don't last because everybody shows up and, Abraham, you got anything to talk about? No, I don't have anything, urgent. Anthony, you got anything to talk about? No, everything's good. And they die.
Mm-hmm.
So each week, each member of the team declares 1 or 2 things that they want to get done over the next 5 business days.
Okay.
So when the team meets the next week, there's always something to talk about. Anthony, your goal was to get 5 clients scheduled. Tell me how that went. Well, I got on a roll, and not only did I get the 5 done, I got 6 done. Great job, Anthony. Great job. And you report on what you did. I wanted to have 3 niche conversations. I had 2. I had 2 really good ones, just didn't get around to the 3rd. That's what I got done. Now, mm-hmm. It holds you accountable. I worked with a UBS guy in Tulsa, and he told me that he thought a game board was silly. Mm-hmm. And then I got an email, and he said, I've put on a game board, have three conversations a week with prospects. And this guy's totally wired in the community. He can get in and see anybody. And he said, it's amazing that it gets to the end of the week and I haven't gotten those 3 done. It holds me accountable to get them done. So this is accountability, but it's also about recognition. When somebody does a good, when you do something great, Abraham, a lot of times it shows up on a production run or whatever. When Anthony does something great, it doesn't show up on a production run. It gives you an opportunity to say, gosh, you wanted to get this done and this done, and you got them both done. You had a great week. Congratulations. It gives you an opportunity to recognize great week. It gives you the opportunity to hold yourself accountable and say, gosh, I got both of these things done. I'm really excited about it. So it's accountability, but it's also recognition. You with me?
Sure.
So if you had to put something on your game board today for the next 5 business days, what would it be?
Well, it'd be reach out to – were you asking, expecting me to answer, or was that rhetorical?
No, go ahead.
It would be to reach out to the CPA we spoke about named Louis Boye at the beginning of our conversation. So that would be the first thing.
All right. Now, is this the guy you're having lunch with?
No, this is the guy I told you about where I already knew him. He's in Rotary.
So on your game board, the task would be to reach out to the Lewis. And
I mean, really,
he's obviously, go ahead.
To make it specific, it would be to schedule a lunch or to invite him to a meeting.
Okay.
Schedule, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have
the obvious.
You know, Yeah, I don't want to have a vague goal. You know, I want to have a specific, measurable goal.
Exactly right. This is not vague. This is important things that if you get them done will advance the practice. So your goal is to schedule an appointment or a lunch, and the quantity is obviously one. Now, I'm going to ask you, what would be if you had to have two up there? What would be the other thing you put on the game board? And it might not be what you tell me after you've had a little time to think about it, but just for the purpose of this exercise, what's something else you could put on the board?
Let's say to have two niche expansion conversations.
There you go. The task is niche expansion conversation. The goal is two.
Right.
Simple. But Abraham, you told me the other day when we talked last, you said, please tell me there's light at the end of the tunnel. Remember that conversation?
Quite well.
You've got a lot going on, and it's easy. It's not intentional. It's just easy to get to the end of the week and you didn't get around to some things.
Right.
So if you were prioritizing and saying, it's important to my practice to have two niche expansion conversations. It's just a way for you to hold yourself accountable because you've got so much good stuff going on. You might not get around to it. Anthony, what would you give me something that if you had to put something on the game board today, what would it be?
I mean, I really like the examples that are there, not to sound unimaginative, but, scheduling clients, we already have, I think it's around 21 clients, and I have about 8 or 9 pending.
Okay.
Those are clients that I've either left voicemails with or I've spoken to, and they didn't have their calendar in front of them. So kind of finalizing them, is a goal for me. So, I wouldn't put the goal at 5. I'd put a pending client, so whatever I have, 8 or 9 clients.
Yeah. This is just done for example. This isn't saying you got to these are the ones you have to have. It's just there for example. So for you, it could be follow up on scheduling, and the quantity could be 3, 4, 5, whatever.
Right.
Okay.
And then,
good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, and then the second example is, in respects to Supernova, obviously I have other tasks that I'm working on, administrative things, but just in respects to Supernova, just to making sure that the folders that, the folders are complete and sent out in a timely fashion. So, whatever pending clients I have, to make sure that those folders go out.
Okay, is that quantifiable? That last one you gave me?
Yes, a complete.
All right.
Folders for pending clients.
Okay. All right. Okay. So here's what a game board is. You go to Staples or Office Depot or wherever, and you get a dry erase board. And you put it. You don't care if a client would see it because it's just how you hold yourself accountable around certain things in the practice. But I just assume not have that conversation with the client. So you get that game board and try to put it in a place where both of you can see it as a reminder. And then your next Monday meeting, you go over the game board. Gives you a chance for accountability and recognition. And let's say, Abraham, you had a goal of two niche expansion conversations, and you didn't get to them. That might be something for next week too. I had a goal of two. I did one. Next week I'm going to have a goal for another two. So if you don't fully complete something, it might be something that you put on the game board for next week. All right?
All right.
All right. Here's what I would ask you to do, Abraham, is between now and our meeting next week, is to have a couple of niche expansion conversations, so it becomes second nature to you, and to come to the meeting both of you with a one or two things that you are going to have on your game board for the next 5 days. Got it?
Okay. Sure.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think we're good.
I think you are too. I think you are too. I'll talk with you next week.
All right. Sounds good. I hope the fish are biting.
I'm not fishing today. I'm working.
All right. See you later.
All right, Rob. Take care.